Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wholeness Podcast. I'm your host, Melissa Catherine, intuitive coach specializing in mindset mastery and committed to bringing you back to wholeness. The truth of who you were, whatever thought you had, trauma or challenges in life. So many of us have limiting beliefs that we somehow aren't enough. And I'm here to tell you it's just not true. As a leader in transformation, having been a coach for almost a decade with a background as a nutritionist, fitness expert, and hypnotherapist, I specialize in emotional and mindset mastery with a spiritual connection to support you in living your best life in a body that you love. Listen each week to receive expert guidance, live coaching, and have your questions answered. It's time for you to have wholeness now.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm so excited. I have one of my like best friends here, Nicole Moore. What is up, girl?
Hi.
So I'm going to tell you, we have so much to talk about. And I just want to tell you, Nicole is a celebrity love coach that I trust personally. And I recommend her to everybody. Not only, I mean, she's helped thousands of women around the world to find epic love. And what we're going to be talking about today is not only Nicole's method, her business is LoveWorks Method, and she has an entire methodology around how to not only find, but keep the man of your dreams, and which we hear so often, right? That you can get the man, but it's about keeping him. It's just like, it's like losing weight, but it's like keeping the weight off, right? So we're going to talk about that today. And there's so much going on right now in the world with the pandemic and people that are wanting to find love, people that their relationships are just going, how do we even keep romance alive? So I'm going to have us dive in. We have the links for everything for where you can find Nicole. So Nicole, I'm going to take this and start us off here. You came from, I met you when you were still in a relationship with a narcissist.
Yeah.
In New York City, Nicole and I met, and then we were like, I like you. And she's like, I like you. And we're like, we're going to be friends forever.
Yeah.
And then we've traveled from New York to California, and here we are. And in that time, Nicole, you've met the love of your life. You have your epic son, Luke. You have created an empire. You're this epic celebrity love coach. The word epic just comes to mind every time I think of you, which is why that's really the title of today's show, finding that epic love and keeping it and having it last. So I met you at a time when you were in a relationship with a narcissist, which is a lot.
Yeah.
And you transformed that, got ahead of that, and then really said, I'm calling in my king.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked about, so first I want to ask you, because I it wasn't until you and I started really talking about that I kept hearing about how many women struggle with being in a narcissistic relationship, and they don't even realize it, from the gaslighting to other things. So can you just share with the audience just what some examples of being in a narcissistic relationship, what that even looks like?
Yeah, totally. So first thing I'll say is most people who meet the narcissist, you, if you have this feeling of like it's so funny because like you think you've met the love of your life sometimes. And like, I certainly would have told you that, like, especially in the beginning when I was dating this person, like, I don't know, like, I kind of feel like I was hypnotized in a way. Like, I just, I don't know. Like, now I look back and I'm like, Nicole, WTF, like, what? But at the time I was hypnotized. And I think like this is important because like, okay, so many women are with like narcissists or abuse, love is XYZ, right? So when I met this person at the time, I was lacking, if you were to say my self-love then versus now, my wholeness level was way lower. But it's almost like I didn't realize it. Like, I think sometimes we don't realize where our cracks are until we get in that relationship that shows it to us. So like this relationship showed it to me. And that why I want to say this for women is because if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you need to know there's a purpose to it. It's not, there's nothing wrong with you. It's not because you're broken. It's a, for me, I took it as a higher purpose to go to that better relationship. So now saying all that, some of the signs. So I will say, it starts off and you think it's the love of your life, but you have to look for the feeling that you have when you met them, because the feeling most of the time when you look within, you were thinking somebody was going to complete you. You were thinking somebody was going to give you something that you didn't have. Like
they're going to save you.
Yeah. I remember feeling like this dude, I remember telling him these words, like not, I literally like want to laugh at myself. You're like, I told him, like, you're like my sunny side of the street. Like, but why was my side so effing dark? You know what I mean? Like, if you think about that. And at the time, I just thought it was normal to like have somebody and you feel like they're completing you. So I thought he had a lot of qualities that I didn't have. And this is so important for those of you who are in these relationships. You're projecting what is actually inside of you to the other person, assuming that the other person has it. And usually narcissists have a false air of confidence, right? So you see them and they seem like they're confident. They seem like they have it together. And that insecure part of you is drawn to them subconsciously thinking, if I'm with them, if they like me, if they love me, I'm going to get it too. And so we get tricked. So false sense of confidence that you'll start to see over time. Like maybe they're not really, maybe they don't really have it together. Maybe they're just arrogant. You know what I mean? But also like a narcissist, they will over time make you feel worse and worse and worse about yourself. So in the beginning of the relationship, they're building you up. They're saying things to you like, I remember, okay, so funny because that particular person said to me in the beginning, if every man had a woman like you, Nicole, this world would be a better place. But cut to 2, 3, at the end, 4 years in, and he was saying, you're lucky that I'm with you because no other man is gonna wanna be with you. So we get hooked because in the beginning, they tell us the things that the insecure part of us wants to hear. And we think it's real, but we don't have that feeling inside of us yet. So of course we attract in somebody who's not going to give it to us long-term. So they're putting you on a pedestal in the beginning, and then you get hooked on that and you keep trying to get that back from them over and over again. But they start to criticize you. They start to put you down. They start to make you feel like there's something wrong with you. If you bring up a concern to them, they will make you feel bad for even having emotions in the first place. Narcissist never wants to take blame. Narcissist always wants to make it about you. Narcissist wants to control the relationship. Narcissist wants to have special rules. Like for example, this person cheated on me with multiple times, multiple women, told me it was my fault that he cheated because I wasn't good enough. And then when I was like, well, fine, maybe I'm going to go find someone else. He's like, if you ever touch another man, like, you know, like, so double standards, all of that stuff. Here's what you need to know though. The biggest shortcut is the narcissists, the abusers, they're not bad people. They are just really insecure, really afraid of feeling emotions. And here's the thing you need to know. They're probably never going to do it. You're never going to save them. So the faster you can get out of that and begin the process of becoming whole within yourself is the faster that you're going to find that person. So it took me 4 years, you guys, and lots of pain and lots of being cheated on, lots of emotional abuse. I mean, I like literally like some in some ways, I feel like I was a different person, even though like I was still Nicole. You know what I mean?
No, you were. Like I even think of you now and I'm like, no, it was. So it's something that I really did want to touch on here, and kind of we're going to go through in the series of like the questions are going to go through basically you and then finding love and then, you know, things that pertain to being in a relationship and keeping love alive and romance and the pandemic. And so we'll go on that. But I often get questions about narcissistic relationships. And I love that you actually mentioned being whole and the process in which, you know, we will, when we're not whole, that we end up putting a lot of that on our partners. You know, it's like the Tom Cruise, you complete me. It's like, no, I need to be complete and find a counterpart that's complete. And then the two wholes become an epic relationship.
Yep. Nobody can save you. And like, I get it. Like because also women especially are trained to believe that okay, listen, I'm watching every single freaking Christmas movie there is on Netflix right now. Even the really
good ones.
I'm watching them, but in all of them, so many of them, it's like, this man comes and then like, it's like, and then finally I feel good about myself or like my whole life is better. And it's like, so we're kind of like trained to believe that. But again, the issue.
I was totally trained to be saved.
Yeah. And the issue is that no one ever tells you that it's like love is about attraction. It's about energy. It's about vibration. So when you're vibrating on like a broken down frequency in love, let's just say that, not that you're broken, but you're like hanging out on the broken down frequency in love, you think you're going to attract somebody who's whole and going to save you, but you attract in somebody, this is really important, who appears at the beginning to be whole and like your savior. And then they turn out to make you feel exactly how you felt. Like, we can, people need to really understand that.
Well, I love that you just said that.
You're going to feel how you feel on the inside. You're going to feel that way with this person. So the more you can work on feeling good on the inside within the relationship, or even before you meet the person, you know, the better the relationship is going to feel to you at the end of the day. It's all about how you feel.
It's so true. Okay. And this is why I love Nicole. And this is why I was like, you have to come on now, because it's such a pivotal time. We're going into the holiday season. And, you know, you're seeing this everywhere. It's like finding love online now more than ever. COVID, people are recognizing that love is important, that they want relationships, that, you know, the job, the other things, it's like, okay, but the most, I'm ready for love. So you teach something called dating for growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really, so I have some questions. First off, one is, what would you say to the woman that's sitting there, regardless of her age, whether she's in her 20s or the woman that's sitting there that's like, I've yet to find love, or I'm divorced and I'm trying to find love again, on how to believe that what she wants is out there in the riffraff of all the things?
Okay, so first I have to say, every single client that I've ever worked with in the entirety of my career, and this is thousands of women, has doubted she can have what she wants, okay? From like, and nobody, it's ever been that crazy, but like some women even doubt they can get a guy and call them back. So like, whatever you're thinking of in terms of like, I believe I can have X, Y, Z in love, let's say it's in like a little box, in a tiny box, you're thinking like it's so much because somewhere along the way, usually in your childhood, somebody that you cared very much about didn't give it to you, okay? This is the reason you think it's too much. It's not that there's some scroll out there saying like, you can only ask for this. It's not like it's like, you know, like you go to like a drive-in and there's only one menu, you need to pick from the menu and that's it. Like, no, you can get as much as you want. But the reason you believe that you can't have it is simply because however many people, 1 to 10 people failed to give it to you. What you need to begin to understand is that that sample size is very small. The amount of people who failed you in love, from your parents to the middle school boys to your ex who dumped you, whatever, is so small compared to the amount of people out there. And so we do this thing in love, we globalize it. This guy said this about me, so like everyone's gonna think that about me, right? My dad, you know, left when I was 5, so everyone's gonna leave. And if you're gonna believe in love, you have to get out of what has been and you have to go into your desires. You have to start to trust in your desires. You have to start to believe that, okay, well, why do I want a guy who, I don't know, spiritual? Why do I want a partner who cooks all the time with me and who's really into family? The reason you want those things is because it's important to you. So I always say to women, I say this, okay, you have some desires. Like, let's say you want a guy who's faithful to you, right? Which is not too much to ask, Khloe Kardashian and other people out there, right? It's not too much to ask. You want a guy who's faithful to you. But if you, maybe you don't want a guy who's like super intellectual and into debating politics. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't, right? So there's all these things, like there's all these qualities that the person could have. The ones that you want, they're giving you a lot of information. The reason you want them is because some part of you knows that that's going to make a great relationship for you. Like, I wanted somebody who's considerate. Why? Because I have noise issues and I have sensitivities. Like, I need to be with somebody who will be like, hey, babe, do you mind if I put on the music in the car? Other people might not think about that, right? But like, I would.
Mike treats Nicole like a queen. There is nothing that she can ask for that he, I mean, and I don't, not in a way where he doesn't have his own voice or anything, but he treats her like a queen. There is deep appreciation. There is respect. He is like, I'm so grateful that I met you and you are my wife. Yeah. And it has surpassed years, baby, you know, it's not just a new love thing. And we're going to get into that today, but I'm telling you, she's like the real deal. And it's so true. So, okay. So believe
in your desires. Your desires are there for a reason, and they are specifically giving you information about what would make a great relationship for you. So the quickest shortcut is to just remind yourself what one person failed to give me is not the limit of what I can. I just posted this on my Instagram. What one person failed to give you is not the limit of what's possible. So if you were to just like wipe out the memory of that and start from scratch, what would you want in your love life? And then the key is this, though. You have to understand there are fear-based desires and there are love desires. There's, I want a guy who's attractive because my middle school girl thinks that if I get the hot guy, that's going to validate me. That's coming from fear. But it could be, I want a guy who's attractive because I'm into beauty and I'm into aesthetics and I love all things like that are visually pleasing. And so like, that just naturally makes sense. That's more coming from you. So I always say to women, the desires that are coming from the truth of who you are, that are coming from love, that are coming from the real you, trust those. That's what you get to have. Don't let the shitty guy in middle school make you feel like you can't have it now and you're in your 40s. Like, let it go. You know what I mean? Yeah. And choose to focus on your desires.
So when you got grounded in calling in your man, what were some of the things that you did? You teach dating for growth. Mm-hmm. For everybody that's home right now, and for everybody that's listening, that's going, I really want love. Like, I'm ready for love. It's, you know, the dating scene's a little bit different now. Everybody's online. What are the top sites and ways that you would suggest connecting, operating, being, to get your man?
Yeah. I mean, right now it's like, okay, the one thing is online dating. It's like everybody never wanted to do online dating. And now it's like, it's the only place, which I find like so funny in so many ways. So obviously you should be online right now, but here's the most important thing. And this is why I teach dating for growth. And this is literally just what I did for myself because I had already worked with so many clients and seen how miserable dating made them. And I was like, I don't want to be miserable. So, okay. When you're dating for growth, this is what you have to understand. You have to understand that you being with the love of your life is a given. It's a certainty. You have to believe that. Okay. So if you, that's step one. I choose to believe that I'm going to be with the love of my life. It's a certainty. I might have doubts, but I'm going to build the certainty. That's the foundation. So if you know you're going to be with the love of your life, no matter what, and you're done with the doubting game of, is it going to happen or not? Like, let that go. So I believe it's going to happen. Then you have to believe that, I say this to my clients, everything is the manifestation of your person, including this moment. So you have to start seeing everything that's happening right now as part of the plan. It's designed to help you get there. Why do you have to do that? Because why women suffer in love and dating particularly so much is because they tend to see everything that's not the love of your life on your doorstep as evidence that they're not going to get what they want. I call that dating for outcome, right? So listen, some of you, my husband, Mike, I was his first Tinder date after he was divorced. Okay. Lucky him. Some of you are going
to wait. You have to tell them, what did you say to him?
Oh, I told him, I said, well, I feel bad for you because it all goes downhill from here. Because that literally in my head, I'm like, he's meeting the best woman at the time I was living in San Diego. That's what I thought. I was like,
but you guys see, like, you are so grounded in your worth. It's so opposite of when you called in the narcissist, right? Like, you are so grounded in you that you're just like, yeah, a chuckle, like, or anything, but just like a sexy smirk of like, yeah, you're looking at it and done.
Right? It was true. But, you know, I don't know, like, I know I can say that and it's like, I'm like, it was true. Like, but it was a lot of work to get there of building it. But this is part of the dating for growth. So I started seeing everything as it's either my guy or it's helping me get to my guy. Even a bad thing, even a guy dumping me, even a disappointment, it has to somehow be helping me get there. So let me look for how it's helping me get there. What happened was when you start to do this, you start to literally feel like this sense that's even bigger than the relationship. The universe is helping you. If the universe is helping you find love, how loved are you? Like, if you really think about it, and we go back to like, you know, the meta of this, if the universe itself is helping you find love, aren't you so loved and precious? And so like, it's weird. Like, you start to really feel like, in a way, you're searching for evidence that your person is coming. You're looking at everything that happens as, how is this helping me get there? Did it show me what I don't want so I know more of what I do want? Did it show me a new standard of what I want to receive? So it's like, I'm not going to be with that person, but damn, like, now I'm expecting flowers every time, or I'm expecting this. And that helped you get there, right? Did it expose a wound that needs to be healed? It's like, thank you, universe, for showing this to me, right? So you start to feel like the universe is helping you on your path to love, which helps you feel more loved in the first place. You start to feel more hopeful. You start to feel more optimistic. And you start to just feel proud of yourself because you're not like every other woman letting a guy who ghosted you get you to the point where you're saying, am I ever going to find love? Like, that really shouldn't be happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even the truth, right? So you just start to feel so great when you're dating for growth. And that's how then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I think differently than other women. I show up differently than other women. Like, I'm amazing. And then it's like natural. Of course, the guy would want me. Are there some guys who don't? Yes. But then what you tell yourself is, well, it's like they have sunglasses on. They can't fully see the sun. They don't know what they're looking at. They can't fully appreciate it. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them that they can't.
And they're not aligned with your vision or else it would have worked. And I think that's why I love it so much, because you make everything about you, about the woman just going, it's not you hunting for a husband. It's you going, how can I have so much fun learning about me in this process? And what I love so much that you said was, when you're in the certainty of, there's no lack of its existence. It's just like, oh, I'm just in the process of its coming. Yeah. So every date is, I'm just in the process of its coming.
Yeah, it helps. It helps so much, because listen, I know women do this so much. It's like, I'm telling you, like, Jack on Bumble does not get to decide if you find love because after 3 days he didn't want to call you. Like, he gave them that power to have a say over your love dreams. Like, they don't have a say in it. You have a say, whatever you believe in, God or the universe, whatever, that has a say. Jack from Bumble does not have a say. So don't give it to him. Of course, be a human being and feel disappointment if you thought it was going to go somewhere. But then that's when you build your faith back up and you say, I know this is happening. I know this is all growth to get there. I know that the universe loves me and would not forsake me. And this desire is here for a reason. And I've wanted love for however many years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. So it's not that it's not supposed to happen. It's that the desire has never left me, which is evidence that this is what is meant for me.
I love this. And I mean, I can tell you, and I've shared this with you before, I'm like, oh my God, when we were in New York, I used to, like, when I started dating, I remember I was like, this wasn't fun, because it was coming from this place of a lot of judgment of, oh, you should already be married. You should this, you should that. And I'm like, and I wasn't in the space of awareness and connection within myself at that time. And I remember it was like, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I was husband hunting. Mm-hmm. I was already sizing them up, doing an interview. And like, I think before we even got to like minute five, I was like, I'm done. And then I'm like, God help the men who sat across from me. just so not. Okay. All right. So now let's get into, you talk about being a queen. Mm-hmm. And there's something that else that you teach that I think all women can benefit from. And it, whether you're in a relationship, want your, the ideal partner, married, I think we like, no matter what, and it's the power of language, and it's speaking to a man in a way that there's a special way in which to speak to a man to get him to respond the way that you want him to. And I know that once I learned about this, I was like, oh my God, women are emasculating men left and right. No wonder they're like blowing up and having arguments and divorcing. Yeah. So when you talk, for instance, to Mike, or when you teach about how to speak to a man and how to have him respond in a way that really honors what you want. Not, I guess that sounds bad, but no, like, yeah. Yeah. It's getting them to do the things, like to respond in a way that you want them to, instead of texting and being like, where are you know? So what are some of your tips on how to speak to a man to get him to respond the way you want him to?
Yeah. Man, is understand that criticism and making someone wrong does not, it's like, if you think about it with like a child, if you're like yelling at them all the time to make them do something, it usually doesn't work, right? Either they become like really shy and hurt, or they're about. So we get him to realize how wrong he is and how bad he is and how, what the bad thing he did and how upset I am. Then he's like, we think that, right? Like, he's going to change. And it's like kind of infuriating that that's not the case. Right. But it really doesn't work. And you can see it, like, just if, okay. I think that the purpose of all communication should really be to spread more love, right? So you have to like think about it before you communicate. You really have to stop and think about, what is the intention with my communication? Am I texting a guy like because I'm trying to hook him to give me back attention and I'm really afraid? That really doesn't work, right? He usually doesn't text you back. Am I sending this? Like, I remember one time I had in the beginning of a relationship, I'd fight with he wasn't my husband then, he was just my boyfriend. And he like walked out of the house, right? But he had told me before, like that's something he used to do in his last relationship. Like he would walk out of the, like he would just, like some people just like they leave, right? So I'm sitting there and my ego at first is like, how could he do this to me? And I like literally I'm like sitting there like wanting to text him. I'm like drafting the message. And then I like remembered my own teachings and I was like, Nicole, if he's already triggered, this is what he does. He's told you, this is what he does. It's not about you. What is texting him that he's so wrong going to do except putting him in defense mode? So what you need to understand, women, is that if you text a guy, you're so bad and wrong, you're thinking he's going to go, you're right. I'm horrible. Let me treat you better. No, he's going to go into defense mode and his ego is going to get activated. And then he's going to either try and fight back at you or he's going to try and flee. And then you're going to have less connection. And then ladies, usually when that happens, they try and grab for more connection. That's how all the problems start. So I stopped myself from sending a negative, vicious text about, you're so bad. But we're not a pushover. Okay. So I'm not saying this to be like, I can hear people thinking that. But so I got centered and I got to this place of, you would call it wholeness, where I realized like his behavior of walking out on me isn't about me. It's really that every time he's come to this point of tension in a relationship before, he doesn't know what to do. So like his system says, walk out the door. And I had a lot of compassion for him. Actually, I was like, oh, I kind of feel sad that at this point in time, he doesn't like know another way to do it. So I like went from angry bitch wanting to complain about him to compassion and love. And I felt so centered. And I got to this place where I was like, I'm okay. No matter what he does, I'm connected, but I don't want him to do that anymore. Right. So he came back in. And then, you know, I simply said, like, I don't know, I can't remember it. It was like, you know, I noticed that when things got heated, you know, you took a choice to walk out of the house. And I really understand that that's not about me. And I know you said that you did that in past relationships, so I'm not judging you for it. And, you know, my request would be that, is there a way that if we have an issue, you could try and stay? And the reason why is because if you try and stay, that would help me feel connected, right? And it was just like clean. It was pure. I was still asking for what I wanted, but I wasn't making him wrong. I will tell you, he has never done that ever again. Ever. Like, never. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, he won't walk away if we're having an argument. And the reason is because it was just a clean communication. So when you're communicating with a man, for example, instead of saying, why did you do that? Even if you just say, I'm wondering if there's a reason. I'm wondering what the reason is, right? There's such a different energy. If you back him into a corner and you're like, I know you did this because of this or this or this, men don't like to be backed into a corner. So when you ask it as a question, right? I'm curious, did something get in the way of you coming home on time tonight? That's very different than, why didn't you come at 8 when you said you were going to come at 8 and now the food is cold and it's 9 o'clock? What the hell is wrong with you? So women need to understand, you're still going to get your point across. You're not going to be a pushover, but you're going to communicate in a way that he can actually hear, because we don't want to activate his defense mechanism. Because again, what happens is when a man is in defense mode, he's either going to come at you or he's going to pull away. And both of those things, you know, we don't want. And now I can also hear women saying, but why do I have to do all of this? And okay. Listen, men, I feel like as a whole, they have work to do too. They have work to do too, but it looks different than women's work, right? But the reason you're doing this is not because it's to get a man to do X, Y, Z at the end of the day. When you use loving communication, you feel better about you. You feel better when you're calm and collected and you are showing up like a badass and you're not emotionally moved than you do when you're a crazed psychopath trying to make someone else feel wrong. So if you communicate with love, because you just want to do it for you, what's going to happen? You're going to feel better about yourself. The side effect is he's probably going to do what you want. You know what I mean? But don't get into the outcome of it. Because then
it also sounds like, you know, there's something in being unattached where it is about you and it's not about controlling them. But I want, so one of the things that I always hear, and it's one of the questions that we got for today's episode, was I've asked my man, you know, I've asked my husband to do the dishes. I've told him, you know, if you could help me with this, and he'll do it for a little bit. He'll pick up his things. You know, he's great. And then within a few weeks, we're back to me doing all the dishes. He's going back. I don't want to nag him. I don't want to be that voice and that wife, but I also don't want to feel like, you know, it doesn't feel good. And I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, like his housekeeper, like picking things up around the house. I want us to be a team. So how do we communicate in a way that sticks, that gets them to go, oh yeah, I want to do things around the house? Because let's do, you know, it's like that, it's like the movie, The Breakup, with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, when she's like, I want you to want to do the dishes. And he's like, yeah. No man wants to do the dishes.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't do the dishes.
Right?
So, yeah. So, okay. On a certain level, I think like it goes back to this. Okay. So it's very different if someone's saying, I love my husband. He does all these things for me, but he's not doing the dishes. Okay. That's a different scenario than he's not doing the dishes and he doesn't show up here and he doesn't show up here. So sometimes the harping on something like the dishes or whatever is really a deeper call for wanting to be more supported in general.
Yes.
And if that this is being within you and you're hearing that, then that's like a deeper conversation with your partner about, hey, it's not about the dishes. I'm really sorry that I've been harping on the dishes. I know you don't want to do the dishes. Truth is, I don't like doing them either. You know, so I get why you don't want to do the dishes. Like, first of all, even just saying to somebody, I get why you don't want to do the dishes, it's like, they can breathe. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you're kind of like on that, nobody wants to do the dishes. So you're on the human level now. I get why you don't want to do them. I appreciate all the times you have done it, even though you didn't want to, just for me. I really appreciate that. And I realize what I'm really craving is X, Y, Z, I want to feel, you know, supported. I want to feel this. And I want us to work together on that. Like, is that something you'd be up for? Now, that might actually open something more up in your relationship than just harping on the dishes and making somebody wrong about the dishes. If though you go this approach and like you're just asking and asking and they're not, then I would just ask them. I would say, you know, I've asked for this. I've explained that if you do this, it's going to help, you know, our relationship in X, Y, Z ways. It seems like you're resistant to doing that. Like, is something up? And you like ask them until they might not even be aware, but like, you know, you have to ask that. And then if it comes down to like, well, they just don't want to do it, or it's like a character defect in them, then you have to think about, and if you have kids, this is a harder conversation, but you have to think about, is this a deal breaker, right? Because some things are deal breakers and you should know what your deal breakers are. But then the other thing I will say is this, it's like, you know, I don't do dishes and I used to be so much messier even when I met my husband, and I'm still messy. And I know it like bothers him sometimes that I'm like, he would want it more clean, but he doesn't get on me for it. But I just started to naturally within myself want more like cleanliness around me. I think just because of the result of development, you know? So sometimes people have to get there on their own. But bottom line is it a deal breaker or not? What do you really want to feel like underneath? I want him to do the dishes. Can you communicate that? And then usually if there's something that's missing in the relationship or that you feel like it's such a struggle to get from your partner, you might want to look at, okay, but like what's going on within me? Do I feel worthy of this feeling? Did I have conflict getting this feeling when I was a child? Because usually those sticky parts on the outside in relationship really just have to do with us at the end of the day. And a lot of times when you heal that or start giving it to yourself or even just start feeling worthy of it, then the other person can also, you know, transform. Sometimes they're an asshole, like, and they won't, you know what I mean? But
I love that you said, you know, is there a deeper, because I do think so many women it's not the nagging, it's they're just going, I'm exhausted. I don't feel supported.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't feel like you appreciate me and I don't feel supported. And it comes out as what a man would deem nagging. But in reality, if they got centered in that. So I love that you're saying, look at the deeper issue. Now, you mentioned something that I wasn't going to bring up, but I would love if we could touch on it quickly before I go into our next. I feel like we could talk forever. So yeah. I'm going to make sure that I get to our top questions here, but deal breakers. Let's talk about those, because I know women are now sitting there going, wait, she mentioned something called deal breakers. How many should we have? What would be deemed a deal breaker? And how do you get clear on what those are, whether you're single or in a partnership where you're starting to question, right? Is this the right partnership for me?
Yeah. So to me, a deal breaker is like, listen, if this person doesn't change this behavior, it will become toxic and it will become a source of unhappiness for the rest of our lives. Like, it is that important, you know? And so first of all, can we, for unless you like desire, most women or men who are listening probably want a committed relationship. So I think things like somebody being faithful to you, if you decide on a relationship container, somebody being committed to that container, somebody caring for you and showing love for you, there are certain things that people have like, that should just be standard. Like, this is the standard basic package, people. And like you want to get to a place where that's standard for you. But then, so the deal breakers.
You're saying that there are certain things that wouldn't be like, when you're looking at your deal breakers, it's like, no, that's already a given that you're going to be attracted.
You should expect.
That's already a given that they're, a good person.
Yeah. And if you don't, then like do the work on that to believe it. But what I'm saying is like, elevate what you see as the standard basic package from the get-go, if that makes sense. And then, really look at what is the kind of life that I want to have? What do I envision for myself? How does that feel? And when I think about that, how is my partner showing up? How are they behaving? How are they interacting with me? And then compare it to your partner now. So like, for example, like the thing I said about consideration, that's so important to me. If I was with somebody who was inconsiderate, who was playing like loud music all the time, or just like not caring about my feelings, to me, that would be a deal breaker. I know it would be, because I know myself, right? So let me think about, but like, to me, somebody who can dance well, even though my husband can dance pretty well, that's not a deal breaker. But like, I have a client who was a dancer, and like, to her, it's like, I have to dance with my husband. Like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Yeah. It would like mess with her life and what she envisions for her life if her husband didn't have dancing ability or the willingness to dance. You see what I'm saying? So real deal breakers are like, if this isn't in place, my life vision is going to be messed up. Like, that's what you need to be thinking about. And then there's obviously like, oh, it'd be nice to have this. It'd be nice to have that. But really, here's what I believe. You can, if you're single, you can have as much as you want in a partner. What I say is, if you're bringing it, you can ask for it. If you're embodying it, go ahead and ask for it in a partner. If you're believing it, go ahead and ask for it, right? If you're in a relationship already, then it's a little bit more of a dance of seeing, okay, can I ask for this? Can we shift this? Can we shift the entire like relationship container? So the single people out there, the thing I want you to hear and the positivity is, you can like manifest amazingness from the get-go. Like, that's the really great thing. You can manifest somebody who feels really like a match for you from the get-go.
And so when you're looking at lists, you're not like one of those people that's like, there should only be 5 deal breakers, or you can have 1,000.
This is what I say. Write your list. I deserve and expect. I did this. I deserve and expect my ideal person to do this, to show up like this, to act like this, blah, blah, blah. Everything. I wrote it down in a Word document. And then I went through every single one. Am I embodying this quality? Am I bringing this quality? Do I feel worthy of it? I put on there, I expect my person to treat me like a goddess and a queen. Then I had to look at, am I treating myself that way? Do I feel this way? When I met him, did I feel like a goddess? You better freaking believe that I did. So I had a list. Some of them were highlighted in purple. That was my color to indicate, Nicole, let's work on this. Let's beef up this quality within you. Let's look at why you don't believe you can have it. Not because you have to be perfect. Like, I'm sure some things were still purple on my list when I met my husband. Like, I wasn't like, get it all good. And that, like, I hate that idea of like, you gotta be perfect. So I'm not saying this to say you have to be perfect. But what happens is, when you're bringing it, you can ask for it. The more you're embodying those qualities. So for example, I'm going to say this one because people get confused. If you put on your list, I want a partner who's financially stable and thriving, but you're broke. It doesn't mean you have to become a multimillionaire and then you're worthy, but you would want to look at, what kind of mindset do I think that kind of partner would have? Could I start embodying a wealthy money mindset now? So it's not like matchy-matchy. I want somebody who has a six-pack, so I got to have a six-pack. I'm not talking about it like in terms of, I'm talking about the energy. You want someone who has a six-pack and looks great, and that's what you really want. One of my clients, by the way, like that's truly, she's not even attracted to guys who don't have that body. And I was like, just freaking just go for that, right? But are you embodying health? Are you embodying caring for your body? Does that make sense? Yeah. So don't get confused thinking it has to be matchy-matchy. We're looking for energetic qualities. Are you bringing them? If so, go ahead and ask for them, because that's going to attract anyway.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So this leads me to the next question. With you and your, and in your container, in your relationship, there's the question always around feminine and masculine energy, and you are a driven woman and you have a lot of goals and things that you desire. And I think that there's a lot around certain women that have big aspirations in life, that they're super masculine, and mm-hmm. how can they attract in, and are they too in their masculine to attract this in? And I want to ask you, how do you balance, you know, running your own business, doing the things that you do, in and also staying in your feminine and honoring those parts of you in your relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I will say this, like to be honest, is that like for me, I just feel like I'm very feminine, but I also feel like I'm very driven and I have those qualities. And to me, it's always been like I have these both qualities. And I was never that woman that was like, I'm getting told on dates that I'm too masculine, like, what do I do? So I want to say that, because like, you know, I just want to be honest with you, though I teach all this stuff and it helps so many women. I was more like just bringing a ton of femininity to begin with. And then I had to go figure out like what I was actually doing and then like go teach that, if that makes sense. But for me, it's like, I don't know, like if I'm working on my business and I'm excited about that. And like, okay, on our first date with me and my husband, Mike, he asked me about like what I do, but what I shared was like my passion for it, my emotion around it. Like that's really like the feminine, right? Like, what do I want to see happen in people's lives? I don't think I was sitting there with a spreadsheet of like, this is how much I'm going to try and make. And like, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't in competition mode, even though I care about what I make and I love all that stuff. I wasn't in competition with him. I wasn't trying to like prove to him that I was a top dog. I was just sharing my emotions and my feelings and my dreams and my desires. So I think like that helped him, but I will feel my feminine. But I will say this, one thing that I had to do when I was trying to manifest my husband was I really kind of put in there, like in the mix, in what I believed, I want a man, I desire a man, I deserve a man who loves my power, who loves what I do in the world, who only wants to see me succeed, who's going to be happy, like whether it's at my book signing or on stage, is going to be happy for me there, who's also going to be in his power. Because I had dated men previously where I felt like they were like, not that I was being too masculine, but they were like afraid or all of that. And so I turned them
positive by you.
Yeah. And First, I tried to build a story in my mind that like, oh, maybe I'm just too powerful, which I just laugh because that's the flip side of the coin of like, maybe I'm not good enough, you know? And then I was like, wait a minute, what the hell are you doing, Nicole? Like, no, don't go down that road. Focus on what you really want. And so I turned it into a positive. This is showing me I want a man who loves like my power. So if you're single again, it's really like, it's a great, because it's like, what do I want? Let me get myself to believe it. And then I can have it. But if you are having a hard time kind of like toggling between the masculine and feminine, just think about being in your body and being present. So if you're in your body with the person that you're on a date with and you're present and you're looking at them and you're feeling them and you're noticing how the wine glass feels in your hand, or you're noticing how the food tastes, or you're noticing the decor in the room, or, you know, you have a fuzzy sweater on and you like how that feels, like it's kind of going to get you out of your mind. But then this is the other thing. So I sometimes don't like these labels of masculine and feminine, even though I use them, because I feel like it confuses people. It makes women feel like they're wrong. And it's just like another thing that women use to make themselves feel bad. Like, oh, now I'm not feminine enough and now I can't have love. And like, I never want to make women feel bad. This is my theory. It's not that like, oh, I'm too masculine. Most women who say that, it's about fear. They are deeply afraid that nobody can be there for them and take care of them, and they have to control everything. And they're terrified that if they let someone have a little bit of control, care, that that person is going to take it, they're going to run, they're going to leave them alone, and then they're going to be like this little baby crying, not able to take care of for themselves or any, like, it's really, it's about that. Masculine, don't go into I'm too masculine. Just ask yourself, where am I afraid? Where am I afraid men are going to disappoint me? Where am I afraid I can't rely on men? Where am I afraid of being that tiny version of myself at some point in my life that felt like there was no one to care for me, or they didn't do it the right way, so I had to bulk up and do everything on my own? Like, you're going to get farther, I feel, going down that route. To me, at the end of the day, the problem in love is not you or anything else. It's that you are aligning with fear and letting fear dictate your choices in love, rather than aligning with love and wholeness and worth and confidence. So I would rather talk about that, to be honest, than like masculine and feminine, because I've noticed so many women use it to make themselves feel wrong. And like,
They do. And they also, and then it's like, oh, I shouldn't have shared about my job. Oh, I'm too much like this. I need to not talk. I need to not say this. I just need to sit back and just ask questions and just listen. So I want to ask you, what about when, I guess we'll say, taking that off the table, just role reversal, in the sense of there's a lot of women now, and I think men too, where, but in the, let's just stick to in the sense of women, where if their partner, their husband loses his job, or, you know, they're now the one that is the breadwinner, or something has happened to where they're doing that, and then they're still like, wait a minute, I'm still the kids. I'm still expected. I have all these other things. And it's really hard for me to not just want to like put my feet up, and then I'm supposed to be turned on and still want to have sex and be intimate. And I'm exhausted because I'm doing all things. So how do we manage that and stay in, I don't want to say like the old roles, because I think it sounds so archaic, but you know, how do you stay feeling juicy, like stepping into that, the last piece here with like sex and intimacy and feeling turned on and wanting to be intimate, when you're just like, you know, I don't know, like I'm not feeling all the things towards you and I'm done and depleted.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, if you're depleted, you can't, especially like for women, it's like, it's, if you're in that position, it's getting into your hormones. You're not going to feel it. So women put so much pressure on themselves to be like everything. And a lot of times it's like, this is expected of me. This is expected of me, but you're the one expecting it of yourself. So I will say for me, like I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I run a business, la, la, la. I like, don't do that to myself. Like I don't expect myself to have like dinner every night, even though like I like,
you are so good at honoring your boundaries and just being like, I just need to speak my truth. This is what I need.
So I think it all comes down to that. It's like, I mean, I was in that situation. Melissa knows this. My husband went through an incredibly severe debilitating pain challenge that lasted for 2 to 3 years, and it was horrible. And I was like watching my husband like just deteriorate before my eyes at the same time, like, so he couldn't work. At the same time, I was going through a lot of stressors in my business. I had very high bills at the time, and it was like all on my freaking shoulders. But at that time, I told my husband, I explained, listen, this is what I can do. This is, he would have liked me to be more of a caretaker for him because he was going through a really hard challenge. And but this is what I told him from the beginning, from when we first started dating. I love you, but I love me more. Women need to understand this. You need to love yourself more. And I just explained to him, listen, like, I can give this. I can't give this at night. Sometimes I'm not going to be able to be with you because I need to go recuperate and rest and help myself. But it's like, this is something that there's a woman named Regina Thomas Howard. She has a book called Mama Gina School of the Womanly Arts. And she
put it together.
Yeah. She said, well, for the people who are listening, she says, when a woman follows her desire, it takes everyone higher. So I'll say this. When my husband was going through that challenge, and I could like literally even feel his little boy inside wanting mommy to take care of him. I feel energy, so I could feel all of it. But I just knew, like, of course I took care. Like I wasn't like a cold, hard bitch, but I knew Nicole, the only way you're going to get out of this is if you take care of yourself first, and then you're going to have energy to give. I also had to be there for my son and la, la, la. So, but I'll say this. So a lot, I spend a lot of time, like, just like, you know, in my room meditating, trying to get centered, but I also was doing research on his like condition. And because I gave myself the time to regenerate my own energy and get myself, I had to get myself to believe that he could be healed. I mean, this could be a whole other podcast. Within that was when I started hooking onto this idea that he was going to have a miracle. You know what happened? That was like the seed to my husband being healed of his challenges. The reason that it happened, of course, like there's all these other factors, but was because I chose to be a woman who would take care of myself first. Women think that if they take care of themselves first, they're going to lose all the other things. And that's why they don't take care of themselves first. But it's the opposite. And if you're with somebody who's selfish, then that's a character defect in them, right? But like, it's the opposite. When women take care of themselves, and you're going to feel scary, you're going to feel like you can't do it, you're going to feel like if you take care of yourself, everything else is going to fall by the wayside. When you take care of yourself, that's when you have the juice. That's when you want to have sex. That's when you feel like you have energy for everybody else. So you have to love you more, bottom line. You have to love you more. Maybe not your kids, right? But you got to love yourself more than your husband or your partner, for sure. For sure.
And this is the perfect segue to end our show, because this is the new paradigm that I feel all women are being called to actually let go of, I need to be all things to all people and I'm last on the list. But it's the honoring of oneself that gives you that deep connection to your sensuality, to be able to give more, to feel turned on, to be lit up. It's like that creative center, those juices, that love, that all of the, it's all the things that I think all women have wanted that got lost along the way in trying to be all things that they were programmed, projected to believe they needed to be. Nicole, you are so epic, and I am going to have you back because we need to get to romance, sex, intimacy, and the miracles.
Miracle. We should do a whole episode on the miracle
healing. We should just.
You had that too, so, you know.
Yes, we really should, actually. It would be great. All right, so where can everybody find you?
Okay, follow me on Instagram. I love Instagram. It's at Nicole Moore Love. My last name is Moore, so Nicole Moore Love. On YouTube, same thing. I have videos every single week. I have a podcast called Love Works with Nicole Moore. My website is Love Works Method. If you type in Nicole Moore Love on the internet, you'll find all the things.
All the things. And guys, we will have all the links as well. Nicole, thank you so much for being here. This was incredible. We touched on just a wide range, and it was so needed with all the different questions that came in. And I can't wait to have you back.
Yes.
And you know, I heart you to pieces. And I just think you're incredible. Thank you so much for your time and for being here.
Thank you. Love you.
I love you, honey. Bye, guys. I'll see you next week in our episode.
Thank you for joining me today. If this podcast episode was super helpful for you, please share with your friends, guys. Sharing is caring. What would mean the world is an awesome review on iTunes. Simply click and give your 5-star review so I can keep bringing you great content to support you in shining bright, playing big, and living as your most beautiful, authentic, and powerful self in a body you love. This show doesn't stop here, so join our exclusive and private Facebook community called Wholeness with Melissa Catherine. Simply ask to join to receive endless complimentary videos, monthly Facebook lives exclusive for this community, and be a part of an awesome, sacred, safe space of incredible, like-minded women just like you, where you can feel heard, express, and receive additional guidance. And I have something else that's incredible for you this month. So if you've been struggling to understand why you sabotage the things that you want, girl, this is my zone of genius and this is what I do. So I have created a quiz for you based off of my international best-selling book called Eat Right for Your Archetype. This quiz is going to help you to identify which archetype you are so you can break free from self-sabotage to release weight and step into your power in life. So this is so much more. Even if you don't have to release weight, this is about being healthy, and your health and wellness is what empowers you to your greatness. So simply head on over to melissacatherine.com/quiz to take that quiz today, and you will receive your results right away, right in your inbox. All right. Thanks so much, guys. And I will see you in the next episode.